Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
My dear friends, it truly is one of those weeks I wish I had a three-hour format. I guess for me, and I assume for most of my listeners, the controversy right now over the crew's non-endorsement is of deep concern because it portends potential disaster for Trump hopefuls. While it is obvious that not all 43 million-plus crew supporters are going to find that voting their conscience means either they stay home or go for a write-in campaign for Cruz, or for Mickey Mouse for that matter, if as many as half or even a third of his supporters decide voting their conscience means they cannot vote for Trump, well, friends, we're back to Romney Obama all over again, God help us. All I can say about that is that the brain masseur warned you that a vote for Trump was a vote for Hillary. Before I get started on that, however, allow me to say to all my Trump supporters, I wish you well with all of my heart. Please believe me. I truly hope Hillary does not win the White House. Even though I think Trump is a jerk, the fact remains that our chances for keeping our freedoms are better with him than they are with Hillary. With Hillary, there is no question about it. She's going to go after our guns and our First Amendment rights, just as she told us she would do. So the choice is clear for all of you Christian and secular pragmatists who have, in my opinion, unfortunately, decided to forsake God, to snub anything he has to say about electing leaders, because so many of you actually believe that morality is a non-issue. And so, leaning on your own understanding and believing yourselves to be very clever political strategists, you know, you think you're going to outwit the devil. You've got your man. And I believe that is because of Christians who have bitten into the apple of pragmatism and forsaken the principle of faith. Because of so many Christians who will vote politics over principle, Trump truly is the best hope we now have to remain free, which puts our freedoms at greater risk than they have been in the history of our nation. Nevertheless, like Jeremiah went on with the rebellious into Egypt to minister to them in their error, I'll stick by you. My intention is to direct all, or at least most all, of whatever gunfire I have available with my little voice to expose hilarity and the dangers she poses to our liberties. Because on this point, I agree with you. If Trump does not deserve to be president, Hillary most certainly does not deserve to be president, Benghazi et al. But I'm going on record right now to say, if Hillary does become president, don't blame me for voting my conscience. It's the fault of all of you who, in my opinion, foolishly chose Trump because, as I've said, he is the one GOP candidate that Hillary had the best chance to beat. With Trump and Hillary, when it comes to their negatives, they will simply sling mud at one another, and this is going to be a miserable election cycle, to be sure. You know, where little, if any, substance will be discussed. Well, let's hope Trump's smarter enough to avoid that. My promise to you is that except when Trump does something outrageously stupid, like, as Levin put it, a Trumper tantrum, or if he begins betraying my friends even before he gets to the White House as he shifts his negotiation tactics from getting the nomination to winning the election, after today, you should not be hearing too much from me about Trump. Today, then, is my last episode for shouting from the rooftops that your emperor has no clothes. Do any of you remember what it was like during Obama's first run for office, and his second for that matter, how nothing we said mattered? No amount of proof, no amount of evidence of what Obama was going to do if he got the White House mattered. His past associations, his past statements, his past actions, nothing we brought out, even about what he was saying on the campaign trail, nothing mattered. It was like spitting in the wind. And the same thing is true of Trump. It's the same weird phenomenon. It simply doesn't matter to anyone what he has said, what he has done in the past. His record is ignored. It shows us that the right is every bit as susceptible to the power of delusion as the left is susceptible. This war between Cruz and Trump, it appears, is not going to end anytime soon. Trump just keeps stoking the fire, doesn't he? The question for me is whether Cruz's unwillingness to endorse Trump is based on principle or is it simply personal vendetta? And then the larger question, since Cruz pledged to support the GOP candidate, whoever it might be, from among those running in the primary, how can he now justify withholding that endorsement? So where do we begin? How about we begin at the beginning? Trump and Cruz were getting along quite well, until Cruz started to become a viable threat to Trump's success. And it broke out into open war between them when, during the primary, an anti-Trump super PAC published an ad depicting Melania in one of her nude poses. Over the picture, it said something like, "Meet your next first lady," and then with a byline along the bottom of the picture saying, "Or you could pick Cruz on Tuesday," and it was aimed at Nevada voters. Now, first, this was not a Cruz super PAC. It was specifically an anti-Trump super PAC, and the super PAC was named, interestingly, "Make America Awesome." An obvious spin off of Trump's mantra or campaign motto, "Make America Great." And then second, Trump's response to the ad was to immediately blame Cruz and threaten his wife. He did this without checking with the Cruz campaign or with Cruz personally. He just assumed it, presumed it, something we've seen Obama do over and over, and that is what Trump can be expected to do. He is Obama white, you know. I would not be a bit surprised if Trump was not behind the whole thing. "Hey, there you go. How do you like that, Mr. Trump? Do you like just being accused by a knee-jerk suspicion? No? I'm shocked. You do it routinely. I thought it was your idea of being a Christian. You know, do unto others. Oh, no, that's right. You're all eye for eye. Well, actually, you're more like Obama, you know, who said, 'They bring a knife and we'll bring a gun.' Yeah, that's Trump style. He's Obama white, you know. You mess with bully Trump and you'd better watch your back because he's coming for you." I mean, that's his temper. Planting this picture that he approved of and arranged to have made by a British photographer for a British magazine called GQ in Britain or whatever. I think then it was his girlfriend, you know, and take a picture of her naked on a bear rug on his jet. It's exactly the sort of thing that Trump would do. And he is devious enough to have thought it out, to play Cruz into a mudslinging fight. Great publicity and an opportunity to scandalize Cruz anyway. Trump immediately blames Cruz and threatens his wife without bothering to contact the Cruz campaign first. "I don't think the man has a gentlemanly bone in his body. No class. All right, then, third." Cruz responds to Trump's threat against his wife, informing Trump that the picture did not come from him or his campaign, and, "You'd better leave my wife out of this," kind of thing, right? I mean, we've got a couple of the teens on the playground squaring off here for a fight. Oh, man. A better response might have been simply to denounce the action of the anti-Trump super PAC, to express embarrassment that such a thing would be done by anybody, and outrage that anyone would stoop so low as to attack or threaten to attack another candidate's wife. But when it gets to family, you know, our personal feelings can certainly blur our better judgment. Yeah, I hear you, no doubt. In your mind, that's why Trump was so incensed about the publishing of photos of his wife, nude, that he and she both intentionally made to be published in a publicly distributed magazine, and that was out there for anyone to see, and that Trump had to know was going to come out sooner or later. Anyway, after Cruz denounced the ad, publicly stipulated he had no hand in publishing it, Trump went forward with his threat anyway, which supports my suspicion Trump set this up in the first place, or at least that he deviously saw an opportunity to stir up a mudslinging contest with Cruz, because Trump is a dirty fighter. It's what some of you like about him. It appeals to you. You know, you think he's going to fight China like that, and he's going to fight the establishment like that. Yeah, but they're all great friends now, you notice. He's going to fight the political correctness like that, right? I don't care for anybody fighting like that. Among other things, what you're going to find out is that Trump and his followers will establish their own political correctness, and they're going to send out their own Trump police dogs to punish severely anyone who steps out of line with his agenda. The politics of personal destruction have nothing on Trump, and we thought only the left played that game. You know, two eyes for an eye and all your teeth for a tooth. Endorse Trump, and if you don't, you're dead. Your career's over. You're done. Grr, grr. Hate, spite, revenge. What a guy. What a team. What a party. And Caesar arrives on the scene as Cruz is wrapping up his speech, waving at his good doggies, patting them on the head, blowing them kisses. The favor of Caesar. All hail Caesar. All hail Caesar. I wonder when they're going to come up with a special salute for their new emperor. And what... And what they'll do to the few of us who resolutely declare the emperor, your emperor, has no clothes. Following this so far, I mean, through my added commentary, it might be a bit difficult. So it's like this. Some anti-Trump super PAC, ironically named after Trump's own campaign slogan, Make America Awesome, published a picture that Trump had made of Melania in the nude for a British publication back in 99 or 2000. And of course, the fact that she and Trump intentionally made this picture is beside the point, right? I mean, of course it is. Hey, we don't care about that sort of thing. So Trump knows us better than we think he does. I mean, he understands perverse American subculture. Trump reacts by accusing Cruz and threatens his wife. So Cruz responds by denying his campaign had anything to do with it and warning Trump to leave his wife alone, buddy. Following this, the Cruz campaign spokesperson denounces the ad and explains that Cruz did not approve of it, nor does he approve of attacking any candidate's wife. But Trump goes off on Heidi anyway and publishes a very unflattering picture of Heidi next to one of his supermodel wife, his third, I think. And according to him, among a veritable harem of babes he boasted once would make a great addition to Playboy, titled Trump Girls. That's your man. Hope you're proud of him. What a wonderful president for America. The very image of America's character as it has become. Perfect. I hear heaven laughing in scorn of our filthiness. From whom Trump, by the way, has never asked for forgiveness. I know that because he told us he's never asked for forgiveness. So that's the truth of it, Mr. L. Rushbow. I love you, but Cruz denounced the ad. And if you or any of these guys think Cruz can control what any super PAC does, and you say, well, you know, it's all wink, wink. And of course, Cruz knew about the ad and approved of it behind the scenes. Everybody knows that, even though Cruz said otherwise. But you know, we can believe Trump, not Lion Ted. Do you believe Mark Levin? He's an honest fellow, right? Well, he said he's known Cruz for 20 years and says Cruz is the real deal, that he is exactly as he represents himself to be. But we, especially many of my good Christian friends, are willing to impugn a man's character on an evil suspicion cast upon him by, well, what can I say? The sort of guy who wants the world to see his girlfriend's nakedness? On top of that, a suspicion that is more baseless, for example, than when I say Trump secretly slipped the picture to the anti-Trump super PAC to set all this up. Pretty baseless, right? I mean, we know the rights to the picture are owned by the British photographer who took those pictures, and when he was contacted, he said no one has approached him to buy the right to use the picture, and was thinking about litigation. So Trump's accusation that Cruz or his campaign bought the rights, well, it was all bogus and made up. And besides, why didn't Sue Happy Trump go after the people who did this thing? Never hesitates to go after folks in other cases. Might it have led investigators to the person who planted the picture with Make America Awesome? And that might lead back to someone in the Trump campaign? My point is, do you see what I mean about baseless accusations? But if reputable people are willing to give credibility to such outrageous and baseless accusations coming from the sort of man who has a record of knee-jerk false accusations with the sort of perverse character as would want the naked body of his then-girlfriend to be displayed in a magazine, then I simply don't know what to say to people like Rush and others who snipe at Cruz, suggesting his campaign must have had something to do with that picture being published. At the end of the day, each man is going to believe what suits him, what serves his own interests, and what supports his own agenda. So having made my point by clever satire, allow me now to say, clearly, that I have no evidence supporting the suspicion that Trump planted the nude picture with said anti-Trump super PAC, intending to set this whole thing up as a publicity stunt. Except that it was in 1999 that Trump floated the idea of running for president, and he was then in an affair with Melania, however you say her name, which led to his divorce from Marla, by the way, who, by the way, told a London paper that if Trump ran for president, she would feel duty-bound to tell all, and to let the world know what Trump is really like. So he hauled her into court and through his lawyers made it clear if she did not shut up, she would be blasted worldwide as a bimbo. Yeah, and would not get that fat check that was promised to her. So now she sings his praises anyway. Back to my point. In 1999, while Trump was still flirting with the idea of running for president, he told Larry King he would marry Melania in 24 hours so that America would have a first lady if he decided to go for it. And when she was asked about it by a reporter, she said she would do it. Now, is that how you propose to the media? You know? What? Is this a publicity stunt? Meanwhile, Trump had Melania pose nude on a bearskin rug in his jet, and now get this, with a briefcase handcuffed to her wrist, reminiscent of the famous presidential football. Very weird. Really, what do the elitist selfies say? Very kinky. You know, then a few months later, still thinking about running for president during Hillary's 2000 run for Senate, Trump told MSNBC's Chris Matthews, can you imagine how controversial I'd be? You think about Clinton and the women. How about me and the women? Can you imagine? When Matthews mentioned Ludinsky, Donald answered, yeah, they might like my women better, too, quote unquote. So that's what he thinks of you and of women. And you don't think Hillary is going to dig all this up and throw it all over the country? Don't blame me. Come on. None of this matters anyway. I mean, character doesn't count for anything today. Morality simply doesn't matter to anyone these days. That's passé. But I wanted you to get some honesty in this mess between Cruz and Trump. So here's the true story of how this came down between Cruz and Trump. A super PAC published a picture that Trump had made of his wife, nude on a bare skin, on his jet, chained to a briefcase. Trump had the picture made. He smirked with Matthews that he would outdo Billy in the sex scandal department, and he seemed very excited about the commotion that would be stirred up over this, which means that early on, Trump thought his sexcapades could be wonderful publicity for him in a run for the presidency. P.T. Barnum has nothing on the Trumpster, let me tell you. Well, anyway, that's that. I wanted you to have in one place all the real facts about this mess. I've got all the documentation you need to prove this out. The truth about how this war got started between Cruz and Trump. Again, I don't know if Trump planted the picture with MAA, Make America Awesome, Super PAC, but I do know that he instigated the feud between him and Cruz. And I also know that Trump went after Cruz's father, implying he was somehow involved in the assassination of JFK because, you know, he's Cuban and, well, he looked like someone in a photo that was seen with Oswald. And, you know, those Cubans, they all look alike. So, God help us. It's beyond outrageous. Of course, though Trump says Cruz never denied it was his father in the picture, I have at least two sources that say he did deny it furiously and that his father also denied that he was in that picture. But regardless of these personal effronteries by Trump against Cruz, is that a reason to stand aloof and refuse to endorse him? Cruz did say he would endorse Trump if he became GOP candidate. After all, isn't a man's word his bond? And does not the Bible say an honorable man will keep his vows even if they are to his own hurt? Should Cruz have endorsed Trump at the convention? Trump thinks so. In fact, apparently, he can't get over it. And he's still fuming about it. Hold on through the break. I'll answer that question from a biblical perspective when I get back.
Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry, arch singing, the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. God in heaven help us. What have you done? What have you trumpets done? Levin calls in another Trumper tantrum. That's right on. Look, Trump's won the nomination already, okay? So why can't he move on? But no, he can't help himself. The man is so thin-skinned and vain, he can't stand it that Cruz has refused to endorse him. I've said this before about Trump. He does not handle it well when people refuse to bow to him. He owes Cruz an apology. It's as simple as that. But instead, he goes on and on about how Cruz's father might well have been involved in the JFK assassination. Why? Because the National Enquirer said so. And that the National Enquirer ought to be taken seriously. Seriously, here's a sampling of past headlines on the cover of the Enquirer. Let's start with this one. Lee Harvey Oswald did not kill JFK. I guess they forgot about that one. Here's another one. Elvis is alive. And an article. I've seen Elvis, and he is alive and well. Oh, here's one, my personal favorite. Rush Limbaugh meets with space aliens. Or how about this one? This one even tops that. Hillary Clinton adopts an alien baby. And they're not talking about one that crossed the border. It's sad that he is already exposing his supporters to buyer's remorse. You know, I thought my show might be missing the focus for this weekend when I wrote the first segment yesterday, until I heard Trump go off on Cruz trying to justify his despicable and baseless accusations. But nope, I'm right on point, so let's get on with it. Politics or principle? You know, the political thing for Cruz to do would have been to suck up the personal insults piled on him by Trump and refuse to take them personally. You know, it's not personal, it's business, or in this case, it's not personal, it's politics, and politics as usual, by the way. And then go ahead and endorse Trump with the caveat that the people have spoken, Trump is their chosen candidate, and so I will respect them and my promise to endorse the GOP candidate winning the primary. But you see, that's not how Cruz rolls, right? Now, Levin will tell you, who probably knows him as well as any outside of his immediate family, that Cruz simply could not do the politically expedient thing. It's simply not in his nature. It isn't in his DNA. Or, you know, surprise, surprise, Cruz, after all, is actually the really non-political candidate in this race. For him to have endorsed Trump, he would have had to bow to political correctness from the right. He would have to kneel to the scepter of pragmatism. He would have to swallow his principles and give in to political gamesmanship. He would have to do a Rubio or a Huckabee and kiss the ring of political expediency. The fact that Cruz did not endorse Trump neither surprises me nor disappoints me. I'm only concerned that it appears it was driven by the lower motives of personal offense rather than the higher motives of principle. By what high principle can a man go back on his word? Well, remember, when so many were accusing Cruz of stealing delegates, right? And Trump threatened to go back on his word and refuse to endorse Cruz should he win the nomination? Yeah, remember that? And you cheered him on for this? Forgot that, eh? Huh, figures. You see, it is totally possible for the conditions in which a promise was made to change in such a way as to make the promise of none effect. I mean, God did that with Eli. He said, I did indeed promise to Eli he would have a man to stand before me in his house all the days of his life and for eternity and so on. But let me tell you, I will honor him that honors me. And so, you see, it's like, for example, we're on our way to fulfill a promise to our kid on a trip to Disneyland, and then we get news that Grandpa died. Well, it just sort of changes the plans, right? The conditions prevailing at the time the candidates were essentially coerced into making a pledge of support for whichever candidate won the nomination appropriately justified making that promise. But those conditions dramatically changed. Trump behaved consistently in such a manner as would make it impossible for a principled man to endorse him for anything beyond dog catcher. And that would be questionable. We learned things about Trump we didn't know before, and these things were game changers. If he does genuinely become a Christian or offers acceptable testimony to a sincere conversion that he's had in the past, including acknowledging that he is a sinner and humbly confessing Christ as Lord and embracing him as his Savior, and he shows simple fruit affirming that confession and goes forward doing right and behaving honorably, showing genuine promise that he will lead us according to the Constitution and he will follow through on his promises to purge the Obama bots from government. Oh, that'd be great. Restore the integrity of our military, God help us, and hold our allies accountable to the agreements we have made with him. I approve of all of that. Then yes, I can reverse myself again and cast my vote for Trump. I can forgive him for all of his nonsense, if he wants forgiveness, but I think he is far too proud to humble himself in that way. So God will have to humble him, and I already hear the pitiable laughter of God rolling through the heavens with the awful warning, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." That's Psalm 2:10-12. I think Trump could use a little time in the cow pasture on all fours eating grass. But anyway, I mean, these days, you know, if you say vote your conscience, you better look right and left and make sure there's not a trumpeter standing nearby. You'll likely start a riot. Can you believe that? Vote your conscience is on the new rights list of politically incorrect phrases. These days, say vote your conscience, and you better be prepared to duck. Obviously, voting one's conscience is not something Trump's lapdogs see as a positive thing for their candidate. Why is that? Vote political expediency. Vote politics as usual. Vote according to the establishment. You did notice that all the establishment aristos have taken their place in line behind Trump. I'm not sure some of you will ever see what is so clear to me and has been clear to me almost from the beginning. The Gopher aristos fear Cruz more than they loathe Trump. They understand Trump, even if they despise him. They cannot understand a guy like Cruz. He simply will not play by their rules. Trump does. Do you realize that the right now, is demanding that we all play along to get along? When did their tune change? They're no different from the people they despise. The moment they taste power, they turn around and use all the same tactics we all railed against when they were used by rhinos or the left. Demand that we vote lockstep behind the party. Ha! If you are threatened by a man who encourages others to vote their conscience, then, friend, you've got a bad candidate. If you demand we violate our conscience in fear of reprisals from you, or for being accused of giving the election to Hillary, you did that. You don't understand principled conservatives, just like the aristos don't understand Cruz. But maybe you can understand him simply acting on his personal integrity. Is that okay? And refusing to allow Trump to walk all over his family, to wipe his dirty feet on the faces of his wife and father, and then you expect him to lick his boots? You've got to be kidding me. If I was Cruz, I would demand a public apology to both my wife and my father. In fact, you know, it's probably a good thing it's not me. You know, if I had been on that stage and Trump walked in while trumpets were chanting, "Endorse Trump, endorse Trump," I would have said, "Okay, I will." And then when I got the attention of the stunned audience, I would have said, "Mr. Trump," and getting his attention, I would say, "Do you apologize for attacking my wife and my father?" And while he hesitated and squirmed in the cameras, I would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot endorse a man of such low character who would attack a man's wife and father simply to win a political contest, nor will I now humiliate my wife or my father by bowing to demands to endorse a man who has insulted both of them." Now, that's if I was Cruz. If I was just being Jerry, I'd actually list all the principal reasons I refuse to endorse Trump. So for all of you who have repeatedly told me I'd make a great candidate, you can understand why. I think that is the last thing these little panty-waist politicos are ready for. They could not handle the truth being thrown into their faces repeatedly, nor could they endure my refusal to bend principle to accommodate their greed or their political ambitions. But wait, Cruz pledged to support whoever won the GOP primary. Doesn't the Bible say an honorable man will keep his word, will perform a vow even to his own hurt? Yes, it does. And that raises a legitimate question. How can I support a man that goes back on his word? Actually, you know, if the only reason Cruz withholds his endorsement is for personal reasons, for personal insult or offense, while I totally understand it, I would have to say I would not agree with it. I would agree if the reason is based on principle, but I don't agree if it's merely personal. If it's personal, suck it up. Make a statement to the effect that the insults were egregious and based on false accusations, but for the greater good of the country and because I made a commitment to endorse the GOP candidate winning the primary, I offer my endorsement of Donald Trump and I'll await his apology for the egregious insults he has laid upon me and my family. Now, that's not much of an endorsement, to be sure. And it's possible some of you Trumpets would rather I did what Cruz did instead. But I think Cruz should phrase his reasons for withholding his endorsement in terms of principle. You know, in principle, I cannot endorse for president a man who uses cruelty and false accusations against his political opponents because I don't think any man of such low character deserves to be president, nor do I think such a man will make a proper president for the United States of America. I think Hillary is even worse, and it's sad that America has a choice between two despicable persons of low character. I believe morality matters, that character counts, and I'm not willing to give my endorsement to a man unfit to hold the office. Anyway, what Cruz did actually was extraordinarily gracious. He did not cast aspersions at Trump. He could have. He didn't. He did not bring up his personal offenses. And honestly, it would be inappropriate to do so in that particular venue. He didn't say anything untoward. His challenge was inspirational. If it lacked anything, it lacked a serious and much-needed harangue against Hillary. I was looking for him to go after Hillary, so that was disappointing. But I thought otherwise he handled himself very well. All who play the political shuffle game are going to be angry that he did not kowtow to the party and endorse their candidate. Those who hate Trump are going to be glad he did not endorse that embarrassing man. And I know some of you almost certainly think that's me, and you're actually wrong. I am ashamed of him, and if he becomes president, I fear I will be embarrassed by him repeatedly, perhaps even more so than I was with Clinton. But the truth is, I hope the best for him and from him. It's just that I don't have a lot of hope we'll see it. You understand you can despise someone and yet care about them and their welfare and even hope good to come to them and from them? I don't wish ill upon Trump. I hope Dobson is right and he truly is a new Christian. It's just I don't see any evidence beyond Dobson's assurance. So I don't believe it. But I sure hope so. I sincerely hope he does all the stuff he's talking about doing. I mean, except for raising taxes to address the deficit or confiscating Americans' wealth to do it or implementing full-blown national health care to replace Obamacare, right? I mean, yeah. But otherwise, I hope he succeeds at stemming the tide of immigration, even if he doesn't get his wall. I hope he succeeds at stimulating the economy with real growth, growth that actually provides jobs for Americans. And I hope he does make America great again, even if his son went way overboard and boasted Trump would make it greater than it has ever been in history. Oh, wow. A little Obama-esque, don't you think? You know, tides will go down, ice caps won't melt, and all that. Anyway, after Trump's latest Trumper tantrum, I'm sure many of you are thinking, this isn't looking good for America. I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch, and now you call, let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me in our listener response hotline, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Ask 100 churchgoers what connects them to their church, and you'll get many different answers. Most, however, would not mention truth as their number one concern. Why? For many, church is about opportunities for socializing or family tradition, and the issue of truth is taken for granted. There's something wrong when a nation boasts 78% of the population is born again, with many of the largest churches in history, and yet we are in a moral freefall, and Christianity is increasingly held in contempt. Think about it. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon